2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10 talks about the judgment seat of Christ. And in this passage, 2 Corinthians 5:10, the Bible says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And I've had a number of questions, a number of people over the years ask me questions about this passage of Scripture. And the questions revolve around this topic: those bad things that are being judged, are those sins? What are those bad things? That's the question that comes up. And the reason that question comes up is that we know that when Jesus Christ died, he died for our sins and paid for those at Calvary. So if he did that, then how can they come up here at the judgment seat of Christ? And so we want to look at some scripture tonight and learn from this. And while we learn, also be concerned about what this means in our lives and what we ought to do about it. But before we go any further, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you please tonight to help us. Help us to be able to really pay careful attention to what we're reading here tonight and learn from what we're reading, so that what you have for us to do according to the scriptures that we look at tonight, you can help us to learn, and then help us to be mindful of the things that we've learned so that we can be doers of the word and not hearers only. And we pray that you'll help us to be attentive and receptive to what you show us, for we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So, the fellow said, he said, what is this that comes up that's bad? Is it bad deeds? Is it sins that we've done? And it reminded me that I have been asked this question a number of times. I remember years ago, there was a lady, and she did not have a filter. She wasn't a smoker, she was a talker. And she didn't have a filter. And so we were talking about that passage in Matthew that says, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. And she was comforted. She said, well, that doesn't pertain to me because, I'm saved. That's all been taken care of at Calvary. And so I thought, I don't think that's right. I think we give account of these things at the judgment seat of Christ. But it's not a matter of opinion. The Bible tells us for sure what the answer is. How can we face sins at the judgment seat of Christ if those sins have already been judged on Jesus Christ and he's paid for them? Well, let's look in our Bibles tonight with this in mind, because this passage right here says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that everyone may receive the things done in what? In what? In his body. In his body. According to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Good or bad, okay. So we're going to have to look at some scripture tonight. Turn with me, first of all, to Revelation 21:8. Revelation 21:8. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, a lot of things happened because of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. One of the things that happened is that he got us past the second death. Revelation 21:8, the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. It is the second death. See that? You're in Revelation. Look at Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. And notice, I'm just going to look at one verse, verse 6. All these people, up to verse 6, watch this. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So the second death hath no power over us because we have been redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. We are going to go up in the first resurrection. If the Lord were to come right now, we would go up in what we all refer to as the rapture. That's just part of the resurrection. It's the first part of it. And so we will live forever, and we will never face Revelation 21:8. Thank God. But you know something? You still die. What does the Bible say in Romans chapter 6, verse 23? The wages of sin is death, and people still die. Christians, good people, still die. Because what Jesus Christ did on Calvary is he stopped the second death, but he did not stop for us the first death. Now, if Jesus Christ were to come in our lifetimes, look at John chapter 11. If he were to come in our lifetimes, that is, if he were to come now before we die physically, then what he accomplished for us on Calvary will affect the death of our body. John chapter 11, when Jesus Christ is talking to Martha before he raises Lazarus from the dead, he says to her in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That covers everybody that's already saved, that's already died. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And that's true. If the Lord were to come right now, you would not die a physical death. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, we shall not all sleep, speaking of death, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So you wouldn't go through death, but you would go through a physical change, because this mortal must put on immortality. The corruptible, which is already dead, puts on incorruption, and the mortal, which could die, puts on immortality. Jesus Christ didn't stop that with his death, burial, and resurrection. The Bible says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So he stopped it in this sense, that if we go through death or we go through the rapture, we're going to get a glorified body. He shall change this vile body and fashion it like unto his glorious body. We get that. And we don't have to go through the second death. But you know something? The consequences of sins in our bodies still take their toll. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. In other words, your sins will not send you to hell. Your sins will not send you to the lake of fire. They can't, because that work was taken care of on Calvary. But look in Galatians chapter 6. This is both good and bad. The Bible says in verse 7 and 8, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his, what's the next word? Flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. All right, so when you sow to the Spirit, you're obedient to the Spirit of God, you're reading your Bible, you're praying, you're mortifying the deeds of the body through the Spirit and all those other things, you are reaping life everlasting. Jesus Christ said, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. You're sowing to the Spirit and you're reaping those spiritual benefits. But if you sow to the flesh through sin, moral decay and dissipation, then you reap corruption. I'll never forget Ann's father came to visit us when Corinne was born. Corinne's 33 years old now, nearly. And he came to visit us when Corinne was born. And we were sitting in the cafeteria at the hospital, and we're sitting at a table for four, and he was sitting next to me, not across from me. And I honestly, there was something about his breath that was very morbid, is all I can describe. And it wasn't just like he hadn't brushed his teeth or that kind of thing. There was something very wrong with him. I didn't know what it was, of course, but I noticed that was something very morbid. And I would say now smelled like death. Well, 3 weeks later, he died. He went back to Houston and immediately was jaundiced, and they diagnosed him with cirrhosis of the liver. And it was so advanced that, you know, he never got out of the hospital, and just within 3 weeks he was gone, which was shocking. And that's what I was, I think that's what that, that's what I was smelling. And you know what, and he was an alcoholic. He drank a lot. He was 53 years old. Now, for all other intents and purposes, I believe he accelerated the date of his death. I've got family members who died, an uncle at 25, an uncle at 47 or 48, an aunt at 50, a grandfather at 43, I think it was. All of these, in some way or shape or form, were affected by the dissipation and complications of alcohol. That's this. And you know, if a person gets saved and he continues on with drugs, or he gets saved and he continues on with drinking, the same thing happens to a saved man that happens to a lost man. Do you understand? The work on Calvary did not stop the work of sin that goes on in the flesh. We still die physical deaths. We still reap what we sow. Now notice, when you get saved, though, the possession of your body changes. It's no longer yours, so you just can make all the decisions you want to live however you choose. You have a new owner. You're in Galatians. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and look at verses 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verses 19 and 20. All right, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? Watch it, and you are not your own. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in what? Your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, that's a very interesting thing. After you get saved, the Spirit of God takes up residence inside of your body, so that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Well, you know how much you've read the Old Testament. You know, you're reading through Exodus, if you read through that, and it's just on and on and on about all these things in the tabernacle. It's made of curtains, and then it's made of goat's hair, and then it's made of ram skins dyed red, and it's covered then with badger skins, and it's made of boards of shittim wood, and they're this wide and this tall, and they've got tendons, and they've got silver sockets or brass sockets in front of the pillars, in front of the gate, and then it's this wide and that long, and the court's this long and that wide, and you just go on through that thing, and it's got this candlestick, and it's made that way. It's got this table of showbread, it's made that way. It's got this laver, it's made that. And you're reading all that, and you're going, who cares? God cares, because that is His house. When they were traveling out in the wilderness, that's where He met with them. That's where He had the pillar of fire and the pillar of the cloud, and that was very important. And boy, if he wants to go on chapter after chapter after chapter after chapter talking about what his house was like down here on the earth, hey, he can do it. He wrote the book. It's all about him anyway. And then you get over there to Solomon, and David saves, you know, for all these articles that are going to go. And then he tells you all about Solomon's temple. And then you read in Ezekiel chapter 40 to 48, and he tells you all about the millennial temple. And you're like, wow, that's a whole lot of detail in there about the gates and the courts, and that's because that's where God takes up residence. Those were very, very important things to him. I say all that to say this, you know, your body is very, very important to God, because that's where his Holy Spirit lives, in you. As a matter of fact, he thinks so much of your body, he bought it with a price. So on the one hand, we say after we get saved, there's a spiritual circumcision that takes place, and our spirit and our soul are now married to Jesus Christ, and the body of our sins of the flesh is circumcised away from the soul, so that no matter what takes place in the body, it can't affect the soul. And we're like, hallelujah, you know. So if the body goes off and does its wickedness and sins, it's okay because it's all separated. I'm going to go to heaven anyway. No, it's not okay. It's not okay at all, because that's where the Holy Spirit lives. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you, and you are bought with a price, and you're to glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So it's very important what you and I do with these bodies after we get saved. Turn to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. I don't think, you know, it's evident that we have not given enough attention to this particular type of lesson, because we keep dealing with all these spiritual matters and kind of just say, well, whatever, you know, he or she does with his body, it's okay. It's not okay. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, the Bible says, watch this, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Okay, we got all that, but look, keep reading, look. And the life which I now live in what? The flesh. Now, Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Well, the Holy Spirit dwells in there. He's talking about sin that resides in this flesh. We got that, but the Holy Spirit takes up residence inside of that body. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Wow. So the resurrected power of the and presence of the Lord Jesus Christ is inside of you, giving you a power that is greater than the power of your flesh that you had before you got saved. And the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He didn't say faith in the Son of God. He said faith of the Son of God. That's another lesson, but let me just say this. Jesus Christ, according to Hebrews chapter 12, is the author and finisher of our faith. How many times did he mess up while he was here on earth? Never. He took exceedingly good care to not sin in his body while he was here on the earth. And he established for us, as an author and finisher, a faith. And now he has given us that faith, and we live in this flesh by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. You got some things going on inside of you that are very, very strong. The faith of the Son of God and the presence of the Spirit of God. So our bodies then, turn to Romans chapter 12, our bodies are very important to the Lord, very important to the Lord. And he says, I want you to do something with that body. Very, very important to the Lord. Way more so than we have emphasized, because we're always talking about spiritual matters. But in Romans chapter 12, he said, the Lord says, I want to do something with that body of yours. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, Romans 12, 1, by the mercies of God, that you present your what? Souls? What, your spirits? No. He said, I want you to present your bodies. You say, yeah, but I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. You see, it sounds like a great dichotomy. The thing is, it is true that our flesh has this sin in it. It's true that we're going to die as a result of that. But at the same time, it is true that it is now possessed by somebody else. He is going to fashion this vile body like unto his glorious body. And it's very important to him what he gets to do inside of that. So he says, I want you to present your bodies a living sacrifice. In what condition? No good? No. Holy. Beat up by sin? No, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He said, I'm not asking you to do anything that is unreasonable here. And be not conformed to this world, that's the problem. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that comes from this book, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, which you could never do unless you presented your body as a living sacrifice to God. Now, because the Holy Spirit resides in us, because we are living by the faith of the Son of God in this flesh, and we present our bodies a living sacrifice to God, then there are certain things that are true. Look in Romans chapter 6. While we know that sin is in this flesh, hey, sin does not have to dominate this flesh. Romans chapter 6, look at verse 12. Romans chapter 6, verses 12, 13, 14. Now watch it. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body. He would not have told you and I to do that unless it were possible to not let sin reign in your mortal body. People say, well, I did that. That's just sin in me. That's just a lame excuse. You say, well, I'm quoting what Paul quoted. Yeah, Paul also said he lived in all good conscience before God and men unto this day. He wasn't running around, you know, stumbling over beer cans in his apartment and saying, well, God, I wouldn't do that if it weren't for the sin in my flesh. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. You can do that because the Holy Spirit's inside of you. You can do that because you're living by the faith of the Son of God. You can do that because your body is presented as a living sacrifice to God. Yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Every day when you get up, you get to make a conscious decision basically every moment through the day, and you say, okay, here's sin, here's Jesus Christ, and I get to make a choice whether I'm going to yield my instruments, my members as instruments to sin, or I'm going to yield my instruments, my members as instruments unto righteousness. Do that. And he said, yield your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not under the law, but under grace. So he says it's not to have dominion over you. Wow. I mean, we're loaded up, and we're given very specific instructions. Romans chapter 8, what does he say to do? He said, well, this flesh, you know, it's still bothering me. Yeah, amen, still bothers me too. I got the same problem with it you do. Romans chapter 8, look at verse 13. If you live, Romans 8, 13, if you live after the flesh, you're going to die. Galatians 6, 7, and 8. You sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. All right, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify, that's to kill it, that's the mortician, mortify the deeds of the body, you're going to live. You shall live. How do you do that? Do you do that of your own? Are you like a Buddhist? I am going to die to myself until I come into the higher place. One guy had a bumper sticker. He said, I got the body of a god. Buddha. You won't find me at the gym. No, you don't eliminate yourself like this, like a Buddha. You don't do that. You mortify the deeds of the flesh by what? If you through what? The Spirit do mortify. And the Spirit's in there. The deeds of the flesh, ye shall live. Now listen, if you don't yield to righteousness, if you let sin have dominion over you, if you don't mortify the deeds of the body, if you don't live by the faith of the Son of God, in your flesh, this life that I now live in the flesh, you know what you're going to do? You're going to do bad things. And when you do bad things, you know what you're going to do? You're going to give account of those to God. You say, well, does that include sin? It's you call it sins or deeds. Verse 13 said, mortify the deeds of the body. Yes, all of that. All of that. Because he's given you all these things to keep from doing those things. He's given you all these things so you can do good. Turn to Romans chapter 14. And so I can do good. And so he says here in Romans chapter 14, verse 10, why Romans 14:10, why dost thou judge thy brother, knucklehead? The trouble's with you. And he's dealing with his problems. You can see those, but you got your own problems. That's what Paul's saying. Why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. We have an accountability to God. And he loads us up. He gives us the Word of God. He gives us the Spirit of God. He gives us the faith of the Son of God. He gives us God so we can yield to him. And he says, you ought to be, with all that, you ought to be able to do something good. And when you do bad, you're resisting against all these other things that I've given you to help you. So at the judgment seat of Christ, we are going to be judged for the things that are done in our bodies. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 at verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Look at verse 7. Coming into verse 10. We walk by faith and not by sight. Paul said, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We walk by faith and not by sight. We're confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, that is still in the body, watch it, we may be accepted of him. If you've got things that you're doing in your life that are not acceptable to God, you need to stop. Because you are going to account to God for that. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. You say, well, what does he get if it's good? Turn to Colossians. Colossians, I'm not giving you much time to settle in on a verse before I flip you to the next one, but it's also prayer meeting night, and we don't want to take the whole time on the lesson, just enough to get the point across. Colossians chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 24 and 25, but look at 23 to get into the passage. Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Why? Verse 24, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. God is going to reward you when you have yielded to those, the Spirit of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the work of the Word of God in your life. He's going to reward you for that. Why? Because you presented your body a living sacrifice and allowed him to do something in you that was acceptable to him. And he rewards you for that. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. You say, what's he going to receive? I don't know. It is not going to be good. Paul said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Not going to be good. You say, well, what in the world do I do about that? Because from time to time, I do bad things. What are we going to do about that? Well, there's a couple things we'll just look at real quick so we can be, we know what it is now. What do we do about this? Well, there's four things, four verses. Look first of all at 1 John 1:9. The hyper-dispensationalists say you don't need 1 John 1:9. After what you've seen, you need 1 John 1:9 in the worst sort of way. Daily. Yeah. As the old preacher said, keep a short account. Boy, they were not kidding. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now do you understand? I know that it's the eternal consequences of your sins was taken care of at Calvary, but there's a judgment coming. And he says, if we would confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let me ask you something. Do you think that's a situation where he wants you to do something bad in your body, get home at night and say, if I did anything bad today, Lord, I'm sorry. Amen. And then tomorrow go do something, the same thing bad again. And then, this the Catholic Baptist, Except you don't go to a confession, you just go to God. It became part of the blessing. I know some people pray for the food. They say that it may be a nourishment to our body and forgive us of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. And that's supposed to like do it. Do you think that's the purpose of 1 John 1:9? No, it's not. Turn to Proverbs 28:13. I'll show you what the purpose of 1 John 1:9 is. Proverbs 28:13. He definitely wants to, he wants us to confess those things, but not just so we can be like, ha ha, I knocked that one out before I got to the judgment seat of Christ. Till I do it again tomorrow, well, I'll just cover that tomorrow night when I go to bed. That's not the purpose of it. The purpose of that is Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth, what's the next two words? And forsaketh them shall have mercy. The purpose of confession is to say to God, you know what? I just messed up and I agree with you that what I just did was a sin. And now, by the work of the Spirit of God, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in me, by the faith of the Son of God, by His death, burial, and resurrection, I intend to forsake that thing. It's repentance. The idea is we're turning from this stuff so that it is no longer a part of our lives. You say, that's quite a fight. No kidding. But don't you know that greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world? You got all the tools you need. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, this is in the context of the Lord's Supper, but notice what was going on. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. People were taking the Lord's Supper and it was just becoming a mockery. And so Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, through 31, he said this, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Do you realize that people were drinking that stuff, the Lord's Supper, at the Lord's Supper they were drinking the cup unworthily and eating the bread unworthily, and they were getting weak, some were sick, and some were dying. You reap what you sow. So what's the remedy? Verse 31. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. So what you do is you take the cause of Christ in your judgment and bring it forward now and say, you know what, welder? That thing you're doing right there is a sin and I have judged that as something that is wrong. You get it under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and you walk away from that thing. 2 Corinthians 7:1, last verse. And you cleanse yourself from it. You say, well, we'll never arrive at sinless perfection. I love what one man said. God leaves fleas on your house pet to remind your dog that he's still a dog. Some people treat their dogs like one of their children. So he leaves some fleas on there to remind the dog that it's still a dog, not your kid. Okay? And there's a little sin on us to remind us of what, you see, of who we really are until we have the glorified body. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, He, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. That's where the Holy Spirit lives. That's the life that we now live in the flesh. We live by the faith of the Son of God, from the filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You see it? So Paul is giving you very, very serious instruction. God wants you to perfect holiness in the fear of God and cleanse yourself from the filthiness of your flesh and spirit. Because the Holy Spirit lives there. Because that body that's sitting here tonight is owned by God. It's not yours. And if you'll follow these things, what you see at the judgment seat of Christ, you know, somebody said it was a judgment for service. It is, but it's also a judgment for these things. We have an accountability to God. Your judgment at the judgment seat of Christ will go a whole lot better for you, and your life down here will go better for you. And you and the Spirit of God will get along a whole lot better. So now, rather than go on and you know, start hammering at the various kind of things, listen, the Spirit of God works with this stuff. Each of us will be under the conviction of the Spirit of God following this message when we get home or during prayer about some things going on in our lives that we're going to face at the judgment seat of Christ that are not good. And now you know what to do about that. And be quick about what you do. Like Jesus said to Judas, that thou doest, do quickly. It'll go a lot better for you at the judgment seat of Christ. I hope that's been a help to you. Father, we thank you tonight for the clear teachings of the Word of God. We ask you, please, to help us to be faithful to what we've heard tonight and go home and do something about this that's pleasing to you, for we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.